Hi guys, and welcome to episode 4 of the Breadwinners podcast. I'm your host, Corey Kilfordy. This business podcast looks into the lives of current entrepreneurs and business owners on how they have navigated their way to being the best they can be and what makes them tick. I look into their highs, their lows of their journey, and what helpful tips they can give. This week, my special guest is Joe Doyle, a former bricklayer turned property investor and business mentor from Clondalkin in Dublin. With over 10 years in the game, Joe has seen both boom and bust, and at one stage did find himself facing almost bankruptcy. Joe's drive and passion is clear and believes that anyone can be successful. Let's go into episode 4 of the Breadwinners podcast. I'm joined today by an entrepreneur, a former bricklayer as well, investor, and now a mentor as well. Joe Doyle, you're very welcome to the Breadwinners podcast. Thanks for joining us. How are you
Pleasure
today?
Pleasure to be here on this fine day.
Joe, like everybody else, we're trying to navigate our way through COVID-19. And suppose, how have you been coping, first of all? That's the first question.
Well, first and foremost, my family is healthy and I'm healthy, so that's pretty much the most important thing. Everything else can be dealt with around that, you know.
So suppose your career to date, some highs and lows along the way, but take me back to where it all first started for you.
So I started off as a block layer. I used to work with my old lad. So my dad ran a kind of small building company, you know, pretty much all my life while I was a kid, you know. And then on weekends and days off school and all that stuff, myself and a couple of mates used to work with him. And then as we kind of finished up school, we went to work with him and became apprentices with himself, you know. So I started working with him as an apprentice bricklayer. And then, sure, by the time I was actually qualified, I actually bought my first house while I was an apprentice. And by the time I was finished qualified, I just said, right, this is not for me. There's no point in me being on the trail all day when I can pay somebody to do what I get done in the day and I can focus on different things. So I bought a house when I was 18, then I bought a bit of ground to build another house, and then I bought a bit of ground to build another house, and I kind of just started tipping away at that, and credit was available at the time, you know. So I was basically buying houses, renting them out, or buying sites and building the houses and renting them out. I never sold any of the properties at the time, you know. And done that for a while. And then the market collapsed. And what I thought I knew about investing and making money in the property market, I realised I hadn't a fucking clue. Am I all right to say fuck on this podcast?
You can, yeah.
I realised I hadn't a clue because it was built on inflated property prices and an abundance of free credit, you know. So that shook me up, you know. Between that, you know, between the things going wrong and me starting out, I set up another business where I was a construction business. We've done a very kind of clever thing that no one had done before. We basically merged a claim handling business and a construction business together. So, you know, the bat leaks, destroys the kitchen ceiling. We were literally getting hundreds of those jobs every month. And that was our business model. We would go in, we would fix the damage, and we get paid for by the insurance companies. And it was a really good business, and it kept me going all through the recession. It was a difficult business because you had gatekeepers with the insurance companies there trying to stop you getting the money. But it was a good business. You know, it kept a lot of people employed, done a lot of work, made a few quid. The money we made on the back of that, I just kept that. I was rolling that into the properties. And then when the proverbial stuff hit the fan, I then got taken back down a peg or two, and I realised I had to go back to the start and pretty much start again, you know.
Take me back to that train of thought, Joe. When you said there, I was a bricklayer, and you just said, I'm not going to do that for the rest of my life, you know. Where did that spike come for you, do you think, to say, right, look, nah, I've bigger fish to fry here?
I'm the most competitive person you'll ever come across. And thankfully, I wasn't the best bricklayer in the world. And I didn't like being second best, you know. So, and then when I done the numbers on it, I realised that the best bricklayers I know weren't the guys that were making the best money. And, you know, I took pride of making money rather than taking pride of being the best at what I do. So you just have a few little light bulb moments where you'd be rounding up two or three lads to give you a hand doing a job. You know, you'd be putting a gang of lads together. Like where we worked, there was a lot of tradesmen and everybody kind of intertwined with each other. And then you'd realise then that you could actually pull a job where you'd be making 500 or 600 quid on the job plus your day's pay. Or you could make 500 or 600 quid and not your day's pay. And in that day, you could be going off generating another job. And I just kind of got clued into, I always wanted to be a property guy, and I got clued into the notion of making money rather than fixating on doing the job.
And the mission at that time is just to make money, is it? Or is that?
Well, I wanted to build my property portfolio. So it wasn't worthwhile for me to be laying the blocks on all the properties I was building, because you know, when you're building a house, as I'm sure you probably know, there's a lot of stuff goes into it. It's not just, and when you're tying yourself down to one thing, it slows down. And in fact, as I look back on that kind of period of my life, that was the mistake I made, was that I was trying to do too much. Just because I knew how to do something myself, I was doing it. Like first house I built, I drove the digger, you know, we poured the concrete, we laid the rising walls, we brought in the other lads to help us put the blocks up just to get it up. You know, we put the rafters in, we put the battens on the wall, we put the plasterboard up, we painted the house. I'd done everything myself and a couple of lads, you know. And it was great. You know, it was a great novelty building a house, but it's not the right way. It's, you know, it's what you get done is more important than what you actually do.
And was that, I suppose, coming from your naivety sometimes before you learned all this, went through the bumps and the bruises, that you said, no, I'm just going to keep, you know, bulling on, as they say in Ireland, just keep going, and maybe not taking the handbrake up and sitting back and going, hang on a minute, there's a little bit of a way here that I can be more effective.
Yeah, like I was, you know, I was like, bear in mind at this stage, like I'm 18, 19, 20 years of age, and I was like, oh my God, what are you doing? You're building more houses, you're not building another house. Like I was just a kid, I didn't really know what I was doing, you know. But I was just giving it 100% effort. And the mistake I made was the 100%, not even the mistake I made, like where I could have done better looking back now, of the 100% effort that I was doing, that I was putting into it, you know, 85, 90% of that effort was going into the doing of the work, and 10% was going into the business behind the doing of the work, the sourcing of the deals and all that different stuff, you know. So, you know, when I learned that, that was wrong. But the mistake there, Party, was what happened was, it was like gambling at the races, and every time I won something, putting it all on the next one. You know, that's what I was doing. And then eventually, you know, the music stopped and prices stopped increasing and stuff like that. Just luckily for me that I had set up the business at the time, because that was kind of paying me a wage and we were generating a few quid here and there from that. Whereas if I would have been exclusively on the property, I would have been completely snookered, which I end up completely snookered in the end anyways, you know. but look, you live and learn, you know.
And Joel, just looking at your ambition, yes, you know, I think it's something that you've said on record before, that you know you're not motivated by money. Is that fair to say? But you know, it does help. But
jeez, I don't know if I said on record that I'm not motivated by money, but I do like making money. But what I seem to love much more than that, like I want to make as much fucking money as I can. I'm out to make 100 million quid. Anything less is failure, you know. But I love the hustle. I love the game. I love making the deal, you know. I love all that sort of stuff. And I suppose, you know, I'm fucking motivated by money. I like making money. Now listen, I don't spend a lot of money on personal stuff. I'm not a big spender of money. But I definitely love the hustle and the deal and, you know, making it happen. That's my, like, see this here now, right? Getting an opportunity to chat to a fellow entrepreneur about business. This is my Saturday night. Do you know what I'm saying? I love talking about business and deal making and entrepreneurship. That's my gig. This is who I am, you know? It's a bit soul destroying for me to have pointless conversations with people that are just, you know, I class them as pointless, you know? I like to be productive. You know, I'm going to leave this here now. Hopefully your listeners will learn something from here, but I'll definitely learn something from you before we wrap up here. And that's the magic of it, you know?
And maybe I suppose I should have reframed that question. It wasn't so much about the money. It's, you know, everyone sees money as flashy cars and houses and everything, but it's the process that you really dial into. And, you know, is that a common thread, do you think, within entrepreneurship?
Is the process a common thread with entrepreneurship?
They really just love that.
It's the person you become along the way, isn't it? I'll tell you a very, very quick story here, something that just completely resonated with me over the last couple of days. And I was thinking about it today for some reason. I was watching I don't watch that much telly, right? I'd watch documentaries and, you know, podcast interviews and stuff like that all the time. But I got glued into watching this thing on Netflix called Ottoman, Rise of the Empire. Did you see that? Rise of Empires. Yeah. So the Ottoman Empire, and the guy there, his name is Sultan Mehmed, whatever the way you describe it. And he's basically, he's trying to take over Constantinople, which is now Istanbul. And the biggest thing he could ever do in his life was to take over Constantinople, kick out the Romans and make it an Islamic city. And at the exact end of the series or the episodes, everybody's expecting him to have a party because he's achieved his goal, you know. And he just sits there and he sits on the throne and he says to his stepmother, "Shall we begin?" You know, and I thought, that's brilliant, you know, because people are connecting with me the whole time and they're asking me questions about business and success and all this sort of stuff, you know. And I'm like, I haven't even fucking started. I'm still warming up here, you know. I think the day that I stop feeling like I'm only warming up or getting going, maybe that's the day that I'll stop chasing and I'll stop going after the hustle, you know. And that's scary. I don't want to happen, you know. I don't want that to happen.
Yeah. And that motivation, you kind of touched on it there. You identified it. But obviously, you love your fitness as well. You do a lot of that. And that probably allows you to have that energy as well. So...
yeah, what I do say to most people, right? So look, a guy would connect with me and he'd ask me a question and I wouldn't know him and we'd be just chatting away. And I'm like, listen, man, I'm not more clever than you. Chances are I could not be more clever than you. Chances are I wouldn't be as smart as you in certain areas, but I am definitely more focused and I will bet my life I'll be more determined than you. And I bet my life I'll be more determined than most people I interact with. In fact, if somebody thinks they're more determined than me, send me a message. I want to be our best friend, you know, because that's what I love to do, you know. Just go after things. That's the buzz, you know. And for me, my whole motto, my life motto is mind, body, wallet, you know.
And mind, body, wallet. Before we go forward, let's go back again, Joe, because you were relatively young when you were going through a lot of the issues you had with the bank and that, you know, and maybe talk us through that, you know, in that process, and what was your mindset at that time, and you know, people that is, and there's still people going through it, unfortunately, in Ireland as well, that haven't really dealt with their problem, but you have at a very young age, and suppose maybe you might tell us a bit more about that.
Look, every entrepreneur, you know, has a scare, or you know, ends up facing bankruptcy or gets close to it at some point in their life. You know, I'm just very thankful that I've done that and I've got it out of the way, because I ain't fucking going back there now. End of story, you know. It's done. I'm not going back there. And, you know, today I'm at home in my home office. My business is running as normal. My investments are running as normal, because every deal that I undertake, I will operate on the basis, what if there's a recession tomorrow? And I protect myself along the way on that. And so I got a massive learning from that. And what happened when I was going through it was like, oh, like, bear in mind, I was like 23, 24, 25 years of age, because I went down for a good few years. I think I went down for about, say, 26 to say 20, 29. And look, I know I'm contradicting myself there, but it was like a block of maybe 4 or 5 years there where I was just plowing on. And like, failure was not an option to me. I thought about giving up. I thought about going bankrupt and all that sort of stuff. And that was the right thing for me to do. But I just didn't want to do it. And it was only when I finished it, and I suppose I'm kind of glancing over the severity of the situation, but it was only when I finished I sorted out the issues. I got properties repossessed. I had to pay a lot of money back to the banks, all this sort of stuff. It was like that. Did you ever see when it's fog out, but it's kind of patchy fog and it's low to the ground? So when I had finished this, within a couple of days, it was like I'd been walking through this fog for the last couple of years and I didn't know until I turned around and I looked back and I could see the fog, if that made sense, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'd been walking through this fog for years, didn't know what it was, and I looked back and I could see it behind me. And my train of thought just completely changed. I just became more determined. I was like, I turned into an absolute antichrist, you know. I would work every minute of the day. I was determined to make some progress. And it didn't take very long for me to turn things around, you know.
And during that time, I noted you appeared on the Irish Apprentice as well. And
Dragon's Den. Yeah.
Tell us about that ordeal, and was that, and you were also featured on a TV documentary as well.
Yeah, I've been, you know, they seem to like me in places, you know, so sometimes they seem to like me and they want to get my opinion and they want to get me in and whatever else there. So, during this time, like, you know, the fact that I was almost bankrupt didn't affect my determination. It affected my train of thought. It affected every single thing else, but I wanted to keep going. So I'd set up a business. Can you call it a business? I didn't make any money. A tenant referencing service, because bear in mind what the climate was like in Ireland back then. And I went on to Dragon's Den, and you know, we were successful and we got investment on that. And it was a great experience to go through the process, you know. But I was on Dragon's Den literally pitching for my life, because I was bust at that stage, you know. I didn't have any, I was at the end of the road that it was either pull the pin and go end up completely bankrupt or manage to find a way out. And that was a job I went in to try and fix that. But I thought a way of fixing my issue was to build another business and sell the business and make some money. And great experience getting on the Dragon's Den. Didn't make any money. Unfortunately, Barry, who gave me the money, he lost his money. You know, maybe I should one day look at getting it back from. But look, it was a good experience. And then RTE had heard about my story, and they because, see, the thing here, Barry, was that I didn't fit the profile. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I was a bricklayer from Clondalkin, you know, one of the, you know, definitely top five worst parts of Dublin at the time, you know. I owed millions out to the banks. And like, who is this guy? What is the story with him? And then, people would be contacting me over the phone or whatever, and I'd rock up and I'd be just this kid walking up with a pair of dirty, bleeding Snickers trousers on him, saying, yeah, that's me, you know. And I think it was because I didn't fit the profile, you know. That's why people took an interest.
And take me back to that time, because the tenants and reference side, obviously, they've probably seen some merits in it. But what were you thinking back at that stage, you know, going, right, I need to get an investor here. Where can I get one? Let's go to the Dragon's Den. Was that the kind of the process you thought of?
Yeah, well, as a young aspiring entrepreneur growing up with no other real business influences in the immediate circle. My dad ran a small building company, but he wasn't really an entrepreneur as such, you know. He was a very self-employed minded man. And I suppose, like, if I be honest with you, like, going on to Dragon's Den for me as a young kid was like an opportunity. Well, young kid, I was 26, 27, I think I actually say it in the documentary, but I'd applied for it the year before as well with my other business, and or 2 years before. But that was a way of validation. I thought, like, if one of these guys see me or believe in me, you know, that would give me a bit of street cred. And I suppose here we are, 7 years later, still talking about it, you know.
But it takes a lot of courage to do something like that. Was there any, you know, time you go, ah, Jesus?
See, look, this is the thing, Corey, right? It is much easier to try get rich once in your life than to live your whole life being poor, yeah? And that is the fact. So you know, if you're poor, you're poor, and if you're rich, you're rich. They're two very clearly defined lines. But when you're on that journey to become rich, you know, and rich means many different things to people, but when you're on the journey to become financially rich or financially free or wealthy, whatever they look, I just say fucking rich and poor, you know, take what you want from it. But when your goal is so big, you know, your why, the reason to do it is so big, you don't give a fuck whether you're nervous or not, you know? That's it. And like, bear in mind, like, you know, I always say to people, like, I'm lucky that I came from the land of opportunity, right? So where I grew up was, you know, one of the lesser better places in Dublin, right? And I need to be respectful to my community, but look, people know where it is, right? And I was saying then, well, thankfully I'm brought up here, because if I was brought up in a more affluent area, I needed a 500 grand mortgage and at least 50 grand worth of cars in the driveway just to blend in with everybody else. Whereas everyone was on fucking welfare, you know, where I was growing up, mostly mates were at the time, you know. There was nowhere to fall if I failed. You know, there was no difference in failure or not trying. So it never entered my mind. Just even now, like, I'm 100% committed to, like, doing whatever it takes, you know. Look, if you said to me, Joe, can we do this at 4 a.m, I'm like, sure, what am I doing at 4 a.m, I'm only fucking sleeping. Yeah, no worries, man. Because this is what we need to do, making connections, you know, talking to people, you know, getting in front of people we don't know. This is what helps us succeed as entrepreneurs, in my opinion. So I will literally do whatever the fuck it takes, you know. Without, I won't do it at the expense of my mental health, my physical health, or make my family upset.
And those are the barriers that you've put in to get where you are. But you know, you're a straight up talker, which is great. But not everybody has that kind of fuck it, we'll do it anyway, and we'll figure it out. But suppose everybody's trying to look for this perfect time now to make a jump or to go at it, as they say, or to go it on your own, as they say in Ireland. But from where you come from, that fuel to get the fire in your belly is that has given you the actual drive and determination to do that, maybe to not be the polished fella in a suit and full of education, but just an absolute manic desire to get a result.
Yeah, you know, the most famous book on wealth creation is called Think and Grow Rich, and it's written in 1920 something by Napoleon Hill. And anytime I even think about that book, there's one thing that just jumps out at me. And he talks about many, many wonderful things in it, but the one thing that's always top of my mind in relation to that book is there is no cure for a lack of desire. So if you don't have that desire, you're fucked, basically. And every day I look out the window, it's a bit really weird and it's a bit kind of cliche and whatever the term is, but I look out the window every day and I'm like, right, what am I going to do today? What has today got in store for me? You know, and I'm like, I'm attacking it. I squeeze the life out of absolutely every day. Like, I can't get one more bit of work done most days. You know, I don't have any downtime. I want to, you know, when you're born in desire is big, and when your why is as big as it can be, everything else is just irrelevant, you know.
And digging into that why, Joe, what is it?
Why I want to do it?
Mm.
That's actually a very good question. So for me, it's a couple of things on that, and you know, as you go along, you learn them, right? Like, every time I put a piece of content on social media, there's those who look and say, I'd like to be like Joe. And then there's those who look at it and say, he's a bullshitter. You know, that's not true. You know, and I just talk about stuff, and particularly if I put something up about college education, formal education, about taxes, if I put something up about work ethic and people being lazy and stuff like that, you know, it completely polarizes the people, that the viewers at all times, you know. And can you imagine the kid that looks at my profile as soon as I get to that 100 million, and he's the same guy that I was. Like, will inspire a whole generation. You know, every piece of content that I've currently put on social media, that will have far more credibility and far more value when I hit my targets.
And that necessarily is your way. So maybe is there a legacy here that Joe's looking at achieving that he wants to get out?
Yeah, I suppose, like, at the same time, I remember having a conversation with someone before. I went to and this is the value of networking in the right community. So I went and paid a couple of grand to go to this property course. Can't really remember anything that I learned on it, if I be very honest, because I just went for the networking. It was something that I kind of, you know, it's not that the course wasn't any good. It was very good, but I already knew what you were teaching. And we went out for dinner. It was in Spain. We went out for dinner one night, and there was a lady sat next to me, and I says, well, what do you do? And she goes, well, I'm a property manager for one of the biggest landlords in the UK. I'm like, oh, great. So she started telling me the story, how she worked for this Jewish family who bought a lot of plots of land immediately after World War II. And rather than sell them, they kept them. And now they're, you know, one of the richest families or one of the biggest landlords, whatever the term was. One of the biggest landlords in the UK. And in three generations, they have absolutely made hundreds and hundreds of millions. And I'm like, holy shit, man. Like, that's, you know, the whole idea is to create wealth that future generations can add to. And I've put the foundation in there. So look, I've got a 10-week-old baby, got an 18-year-old daughter as well. If I keep going what I'm doing, I'm 35 now, I'm 36 later on this week. If my daughter is exactly half my age now, and my other daughter, obviously, she's only a couple of weeks old. But if I keep going for another 18 years, can you imagine the size of the portfolio that my daughter could have under her belt when she gets to my age, if she wanted it, you know? And all she would need to do is just keep adding to that. And like, that's how a dynasty is created, in my opinion. And I've pretty much done most of the hard work there already. I've laid a solid foundation on it, you know? And there's no money in my family. There's no money in my social environments. There's no concept of wealth anywhere in anything in my life, except for what I purposely put myself in the way of connecting with, such as, you know, successful people and stuff like that. That's a big one for me. That's what I really want to do, you know. I want to create wealth that future generations can add to, and I want to inspire a generation along the way. And I want to show people that you can get mega rich without becoming an absolute asshole, you know.
And that's something obviously you're very passionate about, and obviously we see you know, your career to date, Joe, but you've also your mentoring side of the business now has been really important to you. So tell us a wee bit about that. We haven't really touched on that either, because we didn't even see you're a podcaster as well. So
check out my
podcast.
I mean,
oh yeah, yeah. But you know, so tell us about that. When did you start? Because that's obviously another string to your bow as well. When did you realize?
Yeah, I love doing the coaching. Like, I've got like 280 clients from all over the country, and they're like making a lot more money now purely because of the work we do together, you know. And it's absolutely great, you know. I had a few kind of did you ever see that movie Shallow Hal, where Jack Black's character is in the lift and he bumps into Tony Robbins, or he bumps into a hallway and Tony touches him, and he has a kind of has a moment. Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
He has a vision, you know. I've had a few little kind of things like that in my life where I really focus on something happening and I made it happen, all that sort of stuff, you know. And it's not that it's spiritual or magical. I just think it's the power of determination, you know. So how I actually got into the whole mentorship thing, and I didn't even think anybody would want to listen to what I say. Now we've got literally hundreds of clients and thousands of followers, which is good. I'll give you the long version of the story here. I just wrapped up all my bullshit with the bank, for want of a better word, because that's all it is, right? And with the banks, should I say, not the bank. And I was on holidays, and I wanted to go and see Grant Cardone. You know Grant Cardone?
Indeed, yeah.
And Grant has been a big influence on my life, and he's a really good dude, and I'm so happy that I connected him and followed him. So Grant Cardone was having the first ever 10X growth conference And it was on in Miami. I think it was a grand or 500 quid or whatever, all these different things, you know. And I said, right, okay, I'm going there. But if I'm going there, I'm going there to make an impression. I'm not going as any fucking general admission person, you know. I'm gonna go there. I'm going to sit in the front row. I'm going to fly first class. I'm going to get a bleeding Rolls Royce to take me to the airport the same way Grant drives a Rolls Royce. I was just having all these little dreams in my head, right? So I done the numbers and it was like 40 grand or something like that. No, sorry, it wasn't 40 grand. It was about 20 grand to do all those silly things. And that was my way of rewarding myself because I'd just been spent years fighting bankruptcy and I'd just done a couple of deals and made a few quid. And then I said to myself, hold on a minute, Joe. Don't be going around thinking you're Bertie Big Balls here. You've just made a few quid and you're talking about spending 20 grand on like a trip, you know. You can't do that. So I'm literally having a conversation with myself. I'm like, I'll tell you what. As if I was sitting next to myself. I'll tell you what, Joe. You go off and spend that money if you want on condition that you earn it before you spend it and you earn it from a source that you currently don't already have. So I'm like, right, let me do that. And this was like on the 27th, 28th, 29th of December. It was those days between Christmas and New Year's and I was on holidays in Spain. And I just took out my phone and I made a Facebook Live video. And I said, I've never done it before. I said, I've got something that I'm going to do for people that's going to be excellent. It's going to improve people's quality of life. And my plan was to get a group of clients and not clients, just people, charge them a couple of grand and show them what I'd gone through and come out the far side so that they knew, you know. And we made like 32 grand from that video, you know. And I'm like, whoa, holy shit, like this stuff works. Like, you know, making a big ridiculous goal and going after it, I done that. And I found that people wanted to listen to what I had to say. So, I just kept making videos and sharing my story and different things and just pushing it. And it just went from there. And then I made a lot of money from it and I lost money on different things because I didn't know what I was doing on the systems and processes. And now I'm like the number one business mentor in the country for tradesmen, construction workers and small business owners.
And Joe, you make this sound simple, but that is not simple. Making 32 grand. Was one video, you know. I just want to delve into that a wee bit, you know, because that's
the target was 40, so we kind of failed, you know.
Right, but to see those different things, you know, that comes from creativity, obviously, and looking at your mindset and looking at the gaps in the market or looking at. You know, is it that simple just to do something like that so off the wall that, you know, people's going to give?
Well, let me put that back to you, right? Is it that difficult not to do it?
No, you're correct. It's not, no.
No, maybe I shouldn't say it, but, you know, someone will probably rob that. But if I'm going to write a book, I'm going to call it Caveman Economics, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
All right? And it's just... You big hairy caveman, you go out and you grab a stick and you stab it into something and you drag it back to your cave and your big hairy cave woman wife, she cuts it up and cooks it on the fire while you go out and try and stab something else, yeah? I don't see any difference between us now and cavemen back then, except for a few different things. We have Wi-Fi and we have podcasts and we have contactless payments and all this sort of stuff. That's really what it is, isn't it?
Yeah. So the pattern is guess, keep it simple, stupid. Is that?
I am the most uncomplicated human being that you will ever encounter, in my opinion. I'm difficult to put up with now if we're doing business because, you know, if we set out for to get a result, we're fucking getting the result end of the story, you know?
So spotting the problem.
I always say to my clients, like, I believe every single person has a superpower. I believe every single person on this planet has one thing that they can do better than anybody else they know. right? And, you know, let's just break it down, you know. What one thing can you do better than everybody else, you know?
Possibly sell, possibly interview, possibly, you know, there's a few possibilities there, yeah.
Yeah, and you might say sell, right? Or you might say interview people, which are specialists, but they're still kind of general, right? But you might be able to say, and that somebody might come up against you and say, well, actually, you're not, because I'm better or this better. But you could possibly be better at selling, I've got a blue highlighter markers to people in Donegal. Really, really specific, yeah?
Mm.
And once you find out what that superpower is, nobody can come near you. You know, my daughter's 10 weeks old. She's got a superpower already. Like, she's touched parts of my heart that I didn't even know I had in my body, yeah? Like she just makes me stare at her for hours, you know, just looking at her, like, she turns her head, I'm amazed, you know? And, like, that's her superpower, because nobody else can do that.
Mm.
And as she grows up, you know, she'll encounter her own things. So we all have a superpower. And my superpower is, I can talk to somebody for literally 10 minutes, probably less, about their business. And I can see exactly what the problem is with their business. And I know, generally speaking, what needs to be done. Now, when I say business, I'm talking about, you know, construction, 10 employees or less.
Hmm.
That's exactly what I know. And, you know, I've yet to come across something where I can't deal with it, you know. So everybody has a superpower. Luckily for me, I can go off and I've found a way to monetize my one and provide a good quality of life for me and my family from that, you know. The problem is most people don't value their own value. They don't connect with people who would value their value.
Mm.
You know, you could be the best podcaster in the world, but if you talk to my father or my grandfather, and you know, they don't give two fucks because they're not into podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I want to download as much information from you about, you know, you're doing a great job here. I want to know as much as I can about it so that I can help improve my stuff, you know?
Mm. So what you're basically saying there is niching down, really, really, really looking at what you're good at.
And fuck everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about it.
And on your journey, you've obviously, over the last number of years, you've tried wee different things and you've been successful, not successful. How long has it taken you to really, really find that sweet spot?
I don't think I've found it yet.
You're still...
I don't believe I've found it. Look, I've got my businesses, I've got my investments, I've got my properties, I've got my health and all that sort of stuff. You know, like we're talking about, you're basically saying to me, how long did it take me to get to a really successful part of my business or whatever else, you know? Success can't be bought. Like, it's rented every day, you know? And I don't believe that I'm still looking for it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when I get my 100 million, I'll go for a billion. And we'll keep pushing, you know?
Mm. And that's the driving factor at all times for you.
Yeah. That's it, you know, and it wasn't all, now in fairness, it wasn't always as easy for me as it is now. Like, you know, I walk out in the street, people come up to me, they see me, they want to talk to me, they're happy that they had an opportunity to chat to me. People come up and they take selfies with you and all that sort of mad stuff, right? Because, you know, there's a certain kind of mindset of people who like what I'm about. And I'm now known as, you know, Joe the property guy, Joe the entrepreneur, Joe the guy that helps the builders out, you know, Joe the Facebook guy. And people know who I am and know what I'm about. And it's easy to get reinforcement when other people are reinforcing that to you on a daily basis, you know. However, when you're reinforcing yourself with that and you're 10 years in and all you've done is made yourself fucking bankrupt, it's a little bit more of a challenge, you know.
Hmm. But you've obviously... moved a lot of the dials of the people you mentor, and what kind of questions would you ask them straight up? You know, where would you see those gaps, and how would you identify those? So we're trying to give value to some of our listeners there now, who might be thinking about starting up their business. what's the first couple of questions you would advise to sit down and ask yourself, or even you would ask, you know, in that regard?
It's like, that's a very good question. And I was out running there today. I'm running as kind of like my meditation, you know. And I was just kind of going through different scenarios in my head, you know. Do you ever hear the whole saying, who are you when no one else is around? This is me when nobody else is around, because I'm just thinking about ideas and stuff like that all the time. And for people who haven't got a business, and let's say people who are really young, yeah, and they want to be entrepreneurs and they want to have a business of some sort, the most important thing you can do, in my opinion, is to make money as many different times as possible, as quickly as possible. So let's say we're talking to a guy now who's 18, 19, 20 years of age, or we're talking to someone who's 30, 35 years of age and they've been an employee for years and they want to start their own business. I would be of the opinion that it's far more important to make 20 quid a day, 5 different times a day, than it is to make 10 grand at the end of a month when you're starting off. Because, you know, anybody can do anything once or twice, but it's to do it consistently. So if we get a guy, you know, regardless of his age, man, woman, where in the world he's from, if we can get him to make money as quick as he can, get involved in as many transactions as possible. Like, as you know, it's the same amount of effort to sell something for 500 quid as it is to sell something for 5 grand. So if we can get people to carry out as many transactions as possible, that knocks the cobwebs off, helps them refine a few skills, and it takes them away from trying to get perfect. You know, ready, fire, aim. Simple as that. We'll get perfect later on.
So get the idea, get out and get at it is really the concept.
Get out, get at it. You know, like, there's so much opportunity. Like, what the technology has done is it's broken down the barriers of communication. Like, we can take up our phone, we can ring as many people as we have their number, we can connect with an unlimited amount of people from our living room. And we can effectively do that for like 20 or 30 quid a month nowadays, so it's effectively free, you know? So if a guy's getting going in business, just get something to market straight away. I would always advise, so for example, the Dragon's Den business, one of my biggest takeaways from the Dragon's Den business is I spent 2 years putting that together, and it was like, I was spent 2 years setting up for a big party, and when I opened the doors to the party, nobody decided to turn up. And I said, right, fuck that, that's not happening again. So anytime I'm doing something, I'm quick to validate all the time.
How would you do that, Joe? How would you validate very, very quickly? What wee tips or tricks would you advise?
Pick a profession.
Obviously we'll go with something, you know, building. Suppose you, if you're starting out and you're a tradesman, obviously.
Say carpenter. Write a post on Facebook. Hey guys, I've been doing a bit of carpentry there the last while as a hobby. I've got a few hours free. Anybody need any odd jobs done?
Off you go.
There you go. That doesn't work, stick a sign up. You know, ring people, you know. Hey, if you need that done, give me a shout. Get as many transactions as possible under your belt, you know? Go ahead.
No, so I suppose in breaking those wee barriers down, like, you know, getting confidence in it, you're made of steel. You don't care about the comments that people would say, or, you know, getting through that. So
Can I just tell you something on that there?
Yeah.
I'm kind of beyond caring about negative comments, right, for a couple of reasons. I've only ever got one hateful comment from somebody who was more successful than me. And the only way I know he is more successful is because he told me he was more successful than me, right? You know, which, so he was like, he was giving me grief, the cheeky of charging for your information. If anybody wants any help, give me a call for free, right? I've only ever got one. So, you know, people who give hateful comments, they really give hateful comments because you're exposing a side of them that they're already weak at. You know, and following a guy there recently on social media, and he's been getting a lot of flack, and I've been watching him to see how he's handling it. And somebody said, I won't believe that what you say is correct until you show me a bank balance with £1 million in it. And in fairness to himself, he took a screenshot like with £1 million and put it in the comments, you know. And then immediately after that, someone else said, sure, why wouldn't you have £1 million in your bank? You're scamming people and you're ripping people off and all this sort of stuff, you know.
Mm.
But that guy's fucked either way, you know. So don't worry about comments, because you will get them, you know.
Just get on with it. Mm.
Yeah, exactly.
And what's on the horizon for you? As I say, you've obviously just grown what you're doing, or are you looking at different markets, or what's Joe thinking? What's going on when he's out doing his meditating, running, maybe running 100 miles or something, something like that?
I've got a big crossroads in my life, yeah. Because the question is, and again, I'll just learn stuff from mad scenarios. The question is, do I do something different or do I just keep doing what I'm doing? Many, many years ago, I was actually 16 years old at the time, so it's like 20 years ago now. I was out fishing with my uncle on the Liffey, and I was standing at the side of the river, and I was casting the rod out into the centre of the river. I remember I was 16 because I used to drive down to my moped, and there was a guy on the far side of the river, and he was trying to cast his rod as far over to my side as possible, you know? So I just had an idea. Let's just not cast it out into the middle and just drop it in over the side. And it was our most successful day fishing, you know. And people are always trying to get to the far side when everything they need is probably right under their nose, you know. So that always goes around in my head. And right now I'm like, okay, what should I do? Will I go after bigger things? You know, will I go after, I don't know, what am I going to go after, right? But like, I can pretty much like buy a property, rent it out, make $50,000 on it without breaking a sweat, you know? And I'm like, right, do I go and change that and do something where I can make $500,000, or is it easier just to do 10 at $50,000, you know? And for now, I think I'm at the point where I'm operating in a little sweet spot where it's actually effortless to do what I'm doing because I'm so good at it, if that makes sense.
Mm.
So I'm thinking, do I go off and do something new, or do I just do more of what I'm already doing? And at the minute, that's what's looking likely. I'm just going to do more of what I'm already doing. Like we've got, as I said, 230 business coaching clients and about 50 property coaching clients. And like what we do is like nobody can come anywhere near us with it, because what we're teaching is what we've done ourselves to make our money. And in the property space, it's what we're doing right now, you know? So I just want to expand on that. Let more people get access to the success that's available out there if they just focus their energy in the right space, you know. Actually, I'll tell you something there just about validating. So it's my intention to start writing a book over the next couple of days. And the way we said we were going to do, I'm not very good at writing. You know, my English is fucking horrendous as it is. I curse too much. I use bad words and all this sort of stuff, right? So sitting down with a pen and paper will be absolute torture to me. So I spoke to a guy, and he said that if I record what I want to say, he'll help me put it in words in a plain English manner, you know. So what I'm going to do, and this is just a touch on validation. So I'm going to write the book, and I'm going to do one chapter at a time, and we've kind of outlined what it needs to be. And I'm going to record it on Facebook and YouTube. And then he's going to take the audio from that. And then the links at the end of the book, at the end of the video, would be pre-order your copy now. So every time I actually put the, you know, rather than wait until the book is completed and it's 100% finished, I'm validating every stage, if that makes sense, yeah?
Hmm.
And then when I get more responses from one particular part of the book, I'll go in and I'll do more of that, you know. So check it out. It'll be called The Tradesman Survival Guide. And if people want to order, they're probably, by the time they hear this, it'll already be in production. Just go to my website, joedoyle.ie/TSG, and they can pre-order a book for free there, you know.
So it's just an amazing hour or so we've had a chat, and we could go on. But I asked you what your next thing you want. I don't know, I might write a book. So you just don't give yourself enough credit. It was like you just you come up with these ideas and you make them work, and that's just it. So yeah, writing a book, it's a big deal.
You see, it's the logical next step. You know, it's not a big deal for me right now, because everything I know just swirls, and it will probably be like a therapy session for me, because I'll be just basically taking the stuff out of my head and putting it in clearly defined chapters, you know, and we get that done. But okay, it's not that hard. You asked me to go and write a book about podcasting, and I'll be like, holy fuck. That's a big deal for me. Look, when you look at it, if I kind of take myself out of the equation, I'm one of a small number of tradesmen who have actually made it. And when I say made it, I mean that in what other people say made it. I'm right now, I believe I'm still making it. Other people will believe that I've made it, you know. But there's not that many people out there have got this far who started off as a tradesman. So I'd like to drag a few along with me, you know. It's fucking lonely at the top, my man, you know.
And just through the conversation, Joe, it's I might have said about money not being a motive for you. Obviously, there is a bit of a motive there. Obviously, you want to be successful, but there is a side of giving back. Is that a kind of a softer side of Joe coming through that we see as he matures as an entrepreneur? As you see tradesmen, and you can offer value, and obviously there's a lot of content that you do that might be a business element for you, but is there a sense of satisfaction there when you say, yeah, I helped that guy reach a million, or I helped him?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Like I'm fucking about making videos when I could be, you know, talking to people about doing property deals. And I'm definitely losing money on the property side as a result of focusing on the mentorship. Because it's always better to do one thing rather than do two. But my reward for getting to where I'm at in my property space is that I'm allowed now to do my mentorship.
And has that been something that you've wanted to do? I suppose that's probably...
I just fell into it. I wanted to go see Grant Cardone, and I wanted to go full-time. I wanted to go all first class, and I didn't want to pay it myself. And I wanted to get the money for that. And then I wanted to go somewhere else. And then... Look, people message me all the time. You know, it's a weird thing when some guy comes up to you and he quotes back to you something you said in a video a year previous, and he's able to tell you how he made money from that, you know. That's really good. I was listening to an interview the other day with Robert Kiyosaki, you know, Rich Dad Poor Dad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not really a religious guy or anything like that. You know, I believe in the law of doing good and looking after people. But he was talking about this concept of, you might want to be a property investor or a landlord, but God might want you to help others. So he was saying that, you know, he wanted to do certain things, but, you know, God wanted different things. And he was just using that because somebody had said that to him, God wanted different things. So, you know, I don't think I would, you know, if you said to me, look, Joe, you're leaving $1 million a year on the table on the property sense by doing this stuff, I'd be like, okay, I'll accept that. And I'll keep going. Mm. It's a nice feeling helping people, you know?
Mm. Because your trade was in the doldrums back at that time. Obviously, a lot of people left the country. They're still away.
Sure, come here, listen. I started my apprenticeship where a bricklayer was earning more than a doctor, yeah? And then by the time I finished my apprenticeship, we were in recession and there was no work whatsoever except for what I had been, well, you know, after 2 or 3 years, there was no work whatsoever except for what I'd been creating myself then, building my own houses. So you see all these things up and down. You know, I do say this to my clients all the time, and I genuinely mean that. Like, I'd be talking to a guy and I'd be like, look, do you want to come and do some work together? And he might come with us for 30 days, or he might come with us for an hour or whatever else, you know? And I have this thing that I don't do any training for free. I don't care. Look, pay me fucking a tenner. You're not coming in for free, right? Because once somebody pays for something, they'll appreciate it. It takes on a different meaning. I've done lots of stuff for free and people just don't turn up and they don't implement it. So I always make sure they pay something, right? And sometimes you'd be chatting to people and they would just, they would seize up at the notion of having to pay money to acquire the skill because they've never done it. And, you know, and I'm talking, you know, 99 quid for an evening's training. And when we're doing evening's training, and maybe I'm going to cost myself money for this, but when we're doing evening training, like, people make me an offer, I take them in. I don't give a fuck. Once they pay something, they can come in, you know. And some people just won't allow themselves to have that, to allow that to happen. And I pity them, you know. I actually pity people because they're constantly trying to figure things out for themselves and they're not allowing themselves to get into an opportunity where they can learn. And if somebody gave people content for free and then they gave them the same content or training and made them pay for it, they will value what they pay for far greater than what they've got for free, you know?
And that's a true statement. And obviously, there's people out there like that that doesn't grasp that. Joan, there is a clear image coming here from you. I think you're just trying to grab the population and give them a shake and go, look, lads, this is what's here if you do this.
Cough the fuck on. Tell me what the image is. I knew we would learn something more here tonight. Tell me what the image is.
No, I just have you a little image of you grabbing just the proverbial person in front of you and shaking them and going, listen, dude, there is so much more opportunity on the other side of getting all the bullshit out of your head and just focus and start doing, really, you know. So, but Joe, you really make things sound a lot easier. But I just want to, as I say, from the Breadwinners podcast, we're just giving back some information to young entrepreneurs, to existing entrepreneurs, for people who want to get into business, who are thinking about it. Just in three different elements, what would you advise? What would your first bit of advice from Joe Doyle?
Right, so just ask me that question again so I answer it correctly.
Give us three bits of advice that you would advise anyone who's looking or thinking about getting them to do their own thing.
Okay. The first piece of advice is don't worry about fucking up, yeah? Because you definitely will. You know, don't be afraid about making a balls of it because you most definitely will. And it's what you do after that counts. That's the first thing, you know. The second thing is just pick one thing. Just pick one thing. That's what I would say. Focus on one thing. And then I suppose the third one is, you know, always validate along the way. So, don't worry about fucking up. You definitely will. That makes sense?
Definitely, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The second one is just pick one thing. People message me all the time and they're maybe I need to be a bit more polite to them, but people message me looking for like pats on the back and high fives by telling me they've got like fucking five businesses and stuff like that. And I'm like, sounds like you suffer from a lack of focus if you ask me, you know? And that's my reaction to them. Just pick one thing. Get world class at one thing first and then do something else, you know? And then the third thing was, what did we say the third thing was there? We said,
validate along the way.
Validate along the way because I've made a balls of stuff by just going too far one direction
just validating
that I was doing the right thing, you know?
Yeah, and that's obviously checking your market, your customer, your price, and I suppose those things as well is advisable.
Yeah, just make sure that when you host a party, people want to come.
We can quote you on that one, Joe.
Yeah, but so like that's what goes, I still feel sore about it today. Like that, like fuck, how did I not know nobody was gonna? I was not gonna get any customers into my business, you know.
But
I still don't have the answer to that either, you know.
But you love to fight the tail, and you never know.
I've learned my lesson, you know.
Joe, look, it's been a great hour chatting to you. thanks very much for joining us.
I'll tell you what we can do, Porrick, if you want. Mm-hmm. You can cut what I'm about to say out of your podcast if you want, but it's very rude to knock up to a guy's house when he's inviting you out for dinner and don't have a bottle of wine, right? So what we'll do is, for any of your listeners, if they just message my Facebook page, Joe Doyle Entrepreneur, and just write breadwinner, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll send them 10 hours business training.
Well, that's very kind of you, Joe.
Is that fair enough? I think we've got this little training. We've got two trainings. One is a 7-day training, and the other one, I believe, has 10 hours in it. So if they just message me saying breadwinner, I'll just send that on to them. And they can thank you for that then.
Well, look, Joe, thank you for your honesty. It's been fantastic. And some real insightful stuff, Joe. We've uncovered this last hour or so, and you've been really honest and down to earth with your information. And I would probably say there's been no bullshit there, Joe. It's all very real, and we really appreciate that. And thank you very much for that.
See you at the top, my friend.
That's all from today's Breadwinners Business Podcast. We strive to bring you practical business knowledge from entrepreneurs and business owners from all over the world. I hope today's podcast was useful. Please tag me over on our Facebook page at the Breadwinners Podcast. In next week's show, I will be speaking to renowned mentor, speaker, and creator of Schmacked Mastermind for Business Owners, Mr. Porrick O'Malley joins me on the show on his insightful journey and his plans for the future. But from myself, Porrick Hilferty, and everyone at the Breadwinners Podcast, thanks for listening.